Dominic Scrugg, founder and CEO of Willowood Ventures. Thanks for joining me today.
I'm super excited just for the opportunity to speak to you and the audience and, you know, obviously talk about some wild times in the automotive business.
Yeah, that's right. So let's get into it. You've had a lot of experience in automotive as a whole. You spent a lot of time on the retail side and now you're in the consulting side. What is one thing that you're like super passionate about now? What's one thing you like are excited for when you wake up every morning?
Well, I'll tell you, it's really the same thing that that kept me in the automotive business for all these years. It's that the opportunity that it presents, not just myself, but a lot of folks that just genuinely do not know what this business can offer them and the different avenues and different directions it can take you. You know, literally, you know, you start off at the bare bones of the business. You know, I know so many people that started washing cars in a dealership, started selling cars in a dealership when they were 16, 17, 18 years old, and they're multi-billionaires and gosh, in some cases, there's billionaires, right? And they all started in the wash bay of a car dealership. So I absolutely love that. And the difference between us and people that have been, you know, somewhat successful in this business and people that unfortunately have not, a lot of the times is simply training. I as a firsthand example, I don't think I'm any smarter than, you know, the average human being. I'm, you know, in my opinion, I'm just a guy. I'm definitely not a rocket scientist by any means because I'm, again, I'm a car dealership guy, right? Yeah, so I definitely was not a rocket scientist, but I've been able to do pretty good for myself. And I know if I can do it, there's so many folks that probably can as well. But unfortunately, they just don't get the time, the attention, or our business just misses an opportunity to get those people on board. You know, we look at sometimes we overlook that person that's working at a Chick-fil-A or overlooking a teacher. You know, a teacher's one of the best examples I use and say, gosh, someone is teaching chemistry in a high school. I promise you, they've got more knowledge in their brain than I've got, you know, in my entire body. You know, those are some very intelligent people, but why can they not, you know, succeed to the level of a car salesperson? I was like, well, there's really no reason. They just probably haven't been exposed or have seen the opportunities. So my passion is teaching folks what this business can give them, showing them that, hey, you may not be sales, but, you know, let's use you. If you're an analytical person, gosh, you might be an amazing controller. You could be, you know, really that's there's anything that you could be. So that's my passion, is giving people opportunity to succeed and showing them how automotive can help them.
Yeah, exactly. So what was it that made you so successful? And like, you've had a long career doing this for multiple decades. So when you first started, was it hard for you? Was it easy? Like, what made it easy for you to fall in love with it?
Well, it was very hard. You know, I started when I was 18, and my training consisted of, hey, go watch a Joe Verde VHS tape.
Yeah. Put in this cassette tape and listen to it.
Get old VHS tapes and watch them for 3 days, and hey, now you're a salesperson, right? So obviously that didn't work out very well. But, you know, the more I sat around the dealership and started talking to the guys, and I saw the guys that are, you know, successful, I realized that they're no different than me. They went to high school just like I did. Most of them, you know, didn't go to college or maybe did, but they're no smarter than me. They just have a set of skills that I didn't have. So I said, well, shoot, if they can figure that out and they have those same set of skills, let me apply myself to learning those and putting it together.
Yeah, for sure. One thing that you've done a great job at, no matter where you're at on the consulting side, even back when you're on the dealer side, is just using the right technology in the right place. So again, this is not like a paid sponsorship or anything, but one of the tools you used a lot was LotLinks. And even now, it seems like you do an excellent job with your Facebook virtual sales events. Mm-hmm. So what are some of your favorite tools out there, and where are the best places to put those for the right dealer?
Well, you mentioned LotLinks, and again, it's not a paid ad or anything by them, but they're a perfect example of understanding truly how the market works, understanding what, you know, more importantly, you know, I think a lot of times car dealers forget, you know, hey, we like a certain thing, but most of us, it's been so long since we've been a consumer. Is this how a consumer shops? Is this how they do That's business? Right. And what I love about them is, you know, you go out and you can find, they find the customer for you. You don't necessarily have to go looking for them. They say, hey, you've got a piece of inventory. The old saying that there's a butt for every seat. There is a truly a butt for every seat, but you've got to find that butts. That's what they do better than anybody. They do that via finding the auto intenders by feeding them the ads, and they take the guesswork out of it. So that car that you're sitting there and saying, gosh, no one's going to want the yellow one with the polka dot interior, well, you're probably right, but I promise you somewhere in America that guy exists. They go, you know, serve that car to that customer. There's so many AI technologies there that again, I will say the average AI is probably smarter than the average person at this point in time, as far as when it comes to technology. If you don't know how to write an email, why are you still attempting to do it when there's a free tool that you can download and use it, right?
That's
if
right.
Something's proven to be smarter than you, well, use the tool, right?
Yeah.
And technology will continually change how we do our business. And the faster that we adopt in this business, the more profitable we'll be.
Yeah, for sure. When you're talking to a lot of dealers out there, whether they're a dealer that you already consult with or even just like your average dealer across the nation, what are some minor things that they can change that have a huge impact for them?
Well, I think you got to change the people that you've been dealing with, you know. There's so many people that they may change a manager, but if you hire the same exact guy that you just fired, are you really doing anything different?
That's right.
If you're hiring the same used car manager that wants to price cars at 110% and you fire him and go get one that does the same thing, did you really change your philosophy? Did you really do anything different?
And
I think it all starts with looking in the mirror every single day and saying, hey, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Am I hitting my benchmarks and my KPIs? And if I'm not, what am I going to do about fixing it? Because the one consistent is, you know, you don't want to continue to do what you do. So why not change it up? Why not? And especially, you know, right now, I love this season, the selling season. If you're going to try something, why not try it now when grosses are going to be, you know, typically higher throughout the year, your volume's going to be higher. Take a chance, experiment, try a new technology. Hey, most of these third parties, they'll take a month-to-month contract. They'll give you 2 months free, whatever. Sign up, and if it doesn't work, cancel it. But you know, you really have nothing to lose with most of this stuff that there's out there, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's always funny, too, just like you said, you don't want to replace someone that you hated with someone that does the same exact thing. So, like, responsibility-wise, tactic-wise, it's always funny, like, on the used car side where they complain about... So, from my perspective, from when I was in automotive retail, they would start complaining about lead count being down, and they'd say, what did you guys change in marketing? And we'd go through and look at it, and it's like, huh, really, it's our third-party listing sites where the lead count is down significantly. But when we would go in Viato and look at it, we were priced at like 112% on those used cars, priced to market. So, exactly. Of course, like we're not going to get the lead reaction and then also call to action appointment-wise when here we are, they're almost penalizing the lead side of it because they bought the car wrong. So you're exactly right. It's got to be the right people in the right place doing the right thing at the right time. Yeah. So like there's a lot of stuff that you do, Dominic, that makes you really successful. Like if you were to pick out like two or three core attributes of yourself that you think other people should emulate to be successful, what would they be?
Well, I operate a dealership a lot like a football team. You know, one person, I don't care. You could go put, you could go put Tom Brady on the Carolina Panthers right now, and they're not going to be a Super Bowl team, right? Could they be incrementally better instead of winning one game? Will they win five, six, maybe eight? Great. Yeah, absolutely. But they're not winning the Super Bowl, right?
And that's coming from a Carolina guy, too.
Oh, it's awful. It's bad. It's a team. It's a team effort, right? You've got to have the
That's
head
right.
coach. You've got to have the right philosophy. And that even goes into turnover. You know, again, I hate to use my team as the example, but the reason we was the worst team in the league is every single, five, 6 years, we've had a new head coach. We've had a new quarterback. We had a new offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator. There's no stability. So, you know, you've got to put some sort of stability in your store. You've got to stick to some kind of game plan, and you got to look at your staff just like that young quarterback and say, gosh, I've got a rookie quarterback that's had five offensive coordinators. How can this guy get any better? And he's learning a new playbook every season. You know, no different than your salesperson. If you've got a used car building and they teach, hey, this is the steps of the sale this way, but then he goes to the new car building and, oh, we do it this way over here. a Green Pea doesn't know. They don't know that, you know, which way's right, which way's wrong. Oh, I'm in this department. I forgot. I'm doing it the new car way. Oh, I'm doing it. You got to have one process. You got to.
That's right.
I hate to say this. You got to dumb it down so people can learn. They can get better. And I don't care. A bad plan is better than no plan. And more That's often true. Than not, what I've found is there's absolutely no plan, or at least there's no consistent plan. You've got to have a plan, and whatever it is, by God, you got to stick to it.
Yeah, yeah. And you're right, is that really you have to make it as easy as possible to follow that process, whether it's for a salesperson or for a customer, because retention is going to be that much higher step by step through that process. There's that old silly saying, is that you would attract more bees with sugar water than you do with vinegar, right? like you want to make it easy, not just to do business with you, but also for your employees to follow the process. And same thing with turnover. Like, you don't want to be changing that process every few months or every year with a new used car manager or a new desk manager. Like, that just makes it so much more difficult. So for me, I'm always highly optimistic, but I think you have to be optimistic to really see the best and be able to capitalize on that for like the coming months, the coming year. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got 9 months left now in 2024. What are some of the things here this year that you're really optimistic about that are going to go well for the automotive industry?
Well, I'm really optimistic for the good dealers. I'm optimistic because they have an opportunity, in my opinion. I think the top 10% of dealers, they should increase their net profits over 22 and 23 because, yes, we're going into a harder market, but the bad dealers are going to take such a swing into the other direction, and it's going to be so bad for them that the good ones should be able to pick up some of that meat. You know, guys, and everybody was a benefactor of the pandemic. I don't care who you are. I think you're only about as good as you're only half as good as what your number said you were. But so many folks lost touch of the basics of the business. I go to dealerships every single day, different brands, different markets. I don't see test drives. I don't know when the last time I've seen a real demo. And I mean, when I say demo, you know, back in the day when I was selling cars, I was selling, you know, $30,000-$40,000 car. That was an expensive car. Well, now you're at a Chevrolet dealership. A Suburban costs $100,000. A Ford F-150 is $110,000. You know, so these are luxury cars. The guy that is buying that King Ranch, his wife is driving in a Lexus RX 300, right? So that you know, that's a luxury buyer. So you've got to, number one, treat that customer like they're a luxury buyer. You can't, just because you're at a Ford dealership, you can't treat the guy just like like you treated the guy that bought the Escort 10 years ago, right? It's different. And that's number one. The training is key. So I'm so optimistic in profitability for the guys that are doing the basics, because I truly believe you're going to own the market, because at 9 out of 10 stores, they truly do not understand the basics of the business anymore.
Yeah, for sure. So Dominic, thank you so much for coming on today and sharing your great insight and then also sharing your passions. It's just a huge honor to know you and just to get to know you better. I'm looking forward to seeing you more around in automotive.
Hey, thank you, Jordan. I appreciate your time.
Thanks for watching this episode of In the Dirt with Asotu. If you're new to our channel, make sure and mash that like and subscribe button. Also, check out some of these links for our other great podcasts and content.